Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. It is March the 20th, 2018. We have a live show for you on this Tuesday. Looking forward to bringing you that show. And so before we get into that, let me just say this. I am completely internet dark. Don't know what happened. My internet is down, so I got to figure out what's going on with it. So sometimes I have some internet problems here, so I won't be able to see the board, nor can I see BTR Community. So, but hey, we'll still have a show, and I will do as much as I possibly can, and hopefully I can kind of figure out how to get this darn internet to work back, and we'll go forward in the show. So, just want to say thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. Make sure that you support the network by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, and make a donation so that this network can continue to bring you the programming that it has been bringing in the past, and we'll be able to add to that program schedule even more going forward in the future. Very, very important. So make sure you make a donation to the Black Talk Radio Network so that it can stay on air. Very, very critical next 18 months or, the next year for Black Talk Radio Network. We're definitely going to need your support in order to be on air, okay? So if you are benefiting from the network, make sure that you are feeding the roots so that this network can continue to move forward. Also, you can support the network by being a part of the social media outlet known as BTR Community for $24 a year. There is currently a 30-day trial period for free for you to check out the social media network known as BTR Community, where you can post things about yourself, your business, in the regular social media activities that you engage in without being as adversely affected. You know, now you know why from what's going on in the so-called in the lying news, in the propaganda news you're hearing all about Facebook and everything else. Well, this is what we that was the reason why we started this even before it was even publicly announced. We said that this was going on with Facebook and don't want to have anything to do with it. Now you know why we left and why we started BTR Community, and many of you have been extremely adversely affected by that platform. So get off of that platform. Come on over to BTR Community and be a part of that membership where you can have the same experience and be able to facilitate all the things that you need to do within the social media platform. So just do it in a more safer, holistic way, because you don't have to worry about your identity being stolen, sold, or anything of that nature with BTR Community. So internet is really, really giving, it's a pain in the butt. Man, I hate having to deal with this. When it comes to the show, I'm really, really attached to it for doing the show. But, hey, we'll get around it. No problem. Okay? So, let me see if there's another way that I can do this. And believe me, I tried pretty much everything, shut everything off, put it back on. So I'm going to try a couple of other things until I get this darn thing to work, because I'm going to need it to work. Connected? No internet connection. Okay. So just bear with me, technical difficulties that we definitely have from time to time.
Hey Dave, since you're...
Hey, what's up, Scotty?
Hey, I'm all right, man. Since your internet down, man, just go off of memory of some of the things. There's always plenty going on, man. And the callers know the routine. If they got something to say, that's 704-802-5056. Hit **. And just ask Dave, you know, let him know you're there at a good opportunity. Yep. All right.
Yeah, I definitely we're still going to do a show, and we're going to, you know, and move forward. And then I'll get this internet connected and reconnected and fixed. So, yes, we're going to move forward. And there's a lot of stuff that's going on in the world. You know, just before, well, let me do this before we get into what's in the news. Let me do this. Everyone, you know, it was something that Scotty said in preparing for BTR News today that's very, very critical. He talked about how they're using climate change with the old, in a part of the gentrification platform. And that is very, very true. Climate change is a myth. It was created to actually bring about taxation of the people and created to be used as a means to subjugate and to enslave people even more. There is no, yes, the climate does change. There's a natural rhythm, but I hate to tell you, the CO2 that comes out of your cars and the plants, they have no control over the weather at all, because the overall gases is not as dense as the overall water, and it can't affect the sun. It can't affect the universe. See, those are the lies that they tell you and I, and we believe them because we think that they're the authorities. They had this celebrity figurehead named Al Gore go around and talk about this climate change that is a lie, absolute lie, as far as from the way that they're saying it. Is the climate changing? Yes, but it's changing as a part of the natural progression of things. The thing that changes the climate the most is the overall ocean, not what's on the land. Not what's on the land, because the ocean has more of an effect on the atmosphere in which you live in than what's ever given credit for, because water is much more denser than gas. And there's more water on the planet than there is land. And so, yes, you know, and what they do is that they say that, oh, well, the gases and everything is destroying, because they know that you can sensory smell it and see it. And then you think that everything is that it affects the whole world the way that they tell you. You believe, you know, we believe what the so-called lying masters say. And one of the ways that they also do is through population saturation. They say that the planet is overpopulated. No, it's not. They just pack everybody in these cities, and everybody in the city said, man, ain't no room. Yeah, that's because you're too close to everybody. Move around. If you move around this country, you see how much land is there. There's enough land on Madagascar to fit every single person on this planet in Madagascar. And there still would be acres of land. So how in the world, a small area such as Madagascar. But see, these are the lies that have to be told and perpetuated in order to control you and I and our decision making. So climate change is the way that they're telling it for the purpose of taxation and for emissions control. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. It doesn't care with overall climate change. Not only that, I'm not a scientist, but I didn't need to be a scientist to know that they were lying on that one. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't, when you question it, it can't stand the overall question. Can't stand it. Can't stand up to it. So definitely check out that with Scotty today on VCR News. I think that's going to be a very, very important one. And I would just say this. Gentrification doesn't happen when other people move in. It starts when our people move out. And it is an opportunity that we should be having and seizing to ensure that the areas in which are populated by the community, that those areas should be controlled, not owned, controlled by those that would have the best interest of people out of there. You know, Brother Brad and I talked earlier today, this morning. I mean, it's very, you know, interesting as always in critical conversation. It's just, you know,
Hey, I'm sorry, Dave. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, Scotty.
Yeah, your audio is terrible, man. It sounds like your phone's in your pocket.
Okay, let me fix this. Let me see if better.
That's better.
Is that better, Scotty?
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. Okay, had to move the mic. Okay, so I was talking to Brother Bragg. And one thing probably when it was in my pocket, I was saying that, you know, I'm not a scientist, and I could tell that the overall climate change, the way that the system was telling it was a bold lie, absolute lie, and very easy because it didn't stand the overall questions. It can't stand up to questions. How in the world? Question number one. How in the world can the overall CO2 emissions be so impactful to change the overall weather when the Earth has been using the overall CO2 as a means to continue to have the plant life on this planet to thrive? Then how is it that air can dictate the overall weather when weather is generally dictated by moisture and condensation and evaporation, which is water? So it just doesn't bear the overall, it can't bear the truth. And they say that these actual climate change causes flooding and everything else, and the melting of the ice because of the it has a greenhouse effect and causes the sun to be just a bunch of just doesn't it doesn't stand the test when the overall progression of history that the sun goes through solar minimums and solar maximums that have nothing to do with the Earth in itself. It just happens to be that the Earth is in the path of this of its path of its thermal energy. That's it. But so this whole climate change stuff is is nothing more than a hidden tax that the system is trying to maintain and get you to buy into. So just wanted to say that. All right, so let me go off of, there was a couple of things that that I think are very, very important. I posted something that was within the news in a couple of articles. I guess there was another letter bomb that was at a FedEx location that was being sent to the Austin area. Then also there was another shooting in Maryland, another school shooting in Maryland, which I don't think is a coincidence. And I wasn't able to do much checkup on that, but I thought that was very, very important. And there was, oh man, it was something major. Oh, there was, and I'm going to get into this. I don't know if you all heard yesterday when celebrity figurehead Trump had a news conference and was talking about how he's going to get tough on drug dealers and wanted to even invoke the death penalty. As said, we got to get tough on these drug dealers. Wow, we are so, well, we've positioned ourselves and we've allowed ourselves to be completely deceived in this agreement, because we do have an agreement with the system. And in this flawed agreement, you would have a celebrity figurehead head of state saying that we need to get tough on the drug dealers. Oh, it sounds correct. Sounds correct. But all that does is further the overall positioning of the system itself. The drug dealers are not the problem. Never have been, never will be. But will always be the focus, because the drug dealers is what you can see. The drug dealers is what you can see, what you can familiarize yourself with, what you can have a connection with and have a disdain for that. But what you don't see is the real cause and root of the problem. There's a reason for the overall economic plight in response to that, because the system benefits from that. The reason why people go into committing crime, because the environment, the atmosphere, the climate change is really toxic, and that actually brings about a toxic response to everything. But when that was said yesterday, kind of looked at it and kind of shook my head. Said, wow, hopefully we don't fall for this. Death penalty for drug dealers. Huh.
Excuse me, Brother Dave.
Yeah.
Peace. What's good? This is Ross. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Ross? How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm good. The Empress sends her love, too. I just talked to her about you before I got in the house, so she said tell you hello, and the family as well, and peace to Scotty as well, and the other listeners. Go ahead.
And send mine as well, Ross, my man.
Absolutely, man. What you're saying is so incredible. It's just, it's the death penalty, because I saw actually a local news clip where they talked about the same thing, and they said he does want to instate the death penalty, but in states where it would be appropriate, meaning those states that already have the death penalty on the books, those are the states that he would be able to facilitate that in. That's the way that they presented it in the local news clip, is that he's not going to do it nationwide. He can only do it in the states that legally, you know, have the death penalty on the books. And that he does want to do that. Now, we already know that the death penalty does not deter crime whatsoever, because it's poverty that drives crime. There's no, and to me, this is just a refinement, and this is population control of melanated people here, because the people who they're going to be killing with this death penalty are going to be mostly black and brown faces that you're going to see. Now, that's just an obfuscation, because like you just said, they have been made the face of drug dealing, but that's going to allow the military, the doctors, the drug industry, to continue getting everybody high. So So it's basically putting a melanated face on the problem, and it'll be melanated faces that they're getting rid of. But they're not gonna.
And you know what? And Roz, and another thing, it actually allows for the overhandedness of martial law to actually be more extensive.
Yes.
More extensive. And I know you're picking up on that. You see that as well. And the key thing why this is such a sham, man, Roz, and I'm glad you called in. Because if the drugs was really a problem, then it was really a problem for society as they think that they try to present themselves to be. If they were such the angels that they say that they are, when they know that we know that they're nothing more than the devil dressed in the Sunday's best, then it would be those that are creating the drugs, the drug companies, that's who is creating it. But they never talk about those institutions, because those institutions are funding their overall control by having an intoxicated, destabilized population. So, but go ahead, Ross.
I was going to say that, and also it really just allows them, like you said, to instate martial law while they have a refined practice of continuing to flood the streets with the drugs anyway. Because the truth is that the heroin's coming in, and how it's getting here is not through melanated hands at all. It's getting into the country by white so-called Americans that are bringing these drugs in and distributing them. It's the U.S. military guarding these poppy fields. So if they were really about ending, you know, the drug problem, they would stop it from getting in the country, but they can't. There's too many white zombies for them to do that. And the other thing is, just today I read an article, where they caught an NYPD female officer who is considered a nationwide drug kingpin. She was her and her boyfriend was moving weight of heroin across the country, and she was all on Facebook how she's, you know, just supporting police, and she's all about the law, blah blah blah. And she was literally outed and exposed, and her and her boyfriend were caught with, like, they had heroin on them, a few $1,000, and also they caught her with her police weapon. But they said she's been doing this for a few years now, since like 2012.
Thank
and you, I'm like, is she gonna get the death penalty too? I know New York State doesn't have it, but the idea is that the same, and this is all a redux of what was happening during the crack era. When you go back to the crack era, there was cops sniffing coke off their dashboard, beating the heck out of citizens, and working in cahoots with drug dealers. So it's the same thing, it's just more refined. And I could just see it getting worse as this progresses. So I'll end it there, and I'll pop in later as the show continues. But thanks again, Brother Dave. Great show.
Hey, Brother Dave.
Man, always rise. Always enjoy your yeah, hold on one second, for the one person. I'll get right to you. Roz, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Roz, are you in the area where you could read some of the stuff from what's in the news?
Not at the moment, but I could
okay,
get
no problem. No, no, no.
In a few minutes.
Let me know when you do. Okay, let's go to the
Brother Dave, before you move on from that topic, though, in terms of the death penalty for a federal death penalty for drug possession, it's already a law on the books. It's for kingpins, for so-called kingpins, and that's already on U.S. federal law. So they already have that implemented. So what is Donald Trump talking about? Are they talking about it for what? The street corner type dealers, the ones that's out there doing it for survival? And I have long been, over 2 years, been reporting on how Trump admires this guy out here in the Philippines, Duterte, man who has killed, you know, who has brought about the killing of up to 14,000 people since he came in about the same time as Trump. And again, you know, it isn't even a matter of whether or not what position you take politically or whether or not drugs should be legal or not. But for extrajudicial killings where you don't have a trial, you don't have anybody can accuse you of being a drug dealer. And out there in the Philippines, if they suspect you were using drugs, they'll shoot you in the head. These are the police. These are the police. And then in the context of what we were talking about yesterday, and then you want to talk about some gun control. And like you always say, Dave, you better take it from them first.
Yep. Yeah. This whole thing is, and he's talking about, we got to get tough on drug dealers. Okay. Well, then the first drug dealer that needs to be executed is all of the governments throughout the world and all of the corporations, because they are the true drug dealers. The streets just facilitate the facade of evil, the perception of evil. That's all it does. But the real evil is those individuals that actually fund, create, and support the synthetic laboratories. And as you know, as we all know, the U.S. military has been guarding the poppy fields of the opioids of Afghanistan since they got there. And it's not only there, it's in Central and in South America. That whole thing. I'm all for that. But let's first look at the real dealers. And the streets is not the dealers. The street has no decision. It's just the facilitator of the overall perception of evil. So we got another caller in queue that wanted to sound off. I don't know who it is, and welcome caller to Tando Radio Show. What say you?
Thank you for having me and allowing me to have a voice.
Yes, sir.
Everyone in radio land. Yeah, have we forgotten the, I'm Tommy, and I'm going to piggyback off of what Scotty said and somewhat what you said, Dave. Have we forgotten the Contra Affairs? Have we forgotten that? And as we speak about just executing of drug dealers lately, I say several months ago, Donald Trump did visit the Philippine president. He did do that.
Oh, yeah, they're buddies. You're absolutely right. They're buddies. Yeah,
absolutely. He visited the Philippines. He visited them about several 8 months ago. Now, as we speak on this, in this drug thing, they have always done this. Reagan called it the war on drugs. So then he went out to all the street dealers. But no one bothered to bother with the pharmaceutical people. Now we then got caught up into something that we want to put a pretty face on it. As I heard you use the name as well, Dave, opioids. But at the same time, it's dope. But they don't want to call it that because so many of them are caught up into this in this moment and in this time. So now they're going to make it look good, and they're opening up all these programs of recovery and rehabs where at some point they was locking everybody up, tearing their houses up, putting it so they couldn't get nowhere to live, barring them from being a part of society. But they got police running around now giving people medication to keep them from ODing when they look like they look. So I need to say that, I guess, but we're in a real dark place right now, and I wonder if any of us are really paying attention to what's going on, but this is real, real serious. And thank you for listening. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, and that great call. Yes, we're in a real dark place, and I didn't catch that one part of the celebrity figurehead speech, but you brought back one of the things that I heard him saying about how there is, and I'm not familiar with this myself, but something that's waking the people back up. And I'm so glad that you reminded me, because I heard him say that, and all I could do was just shake my head. This is the pharmaceutical, the synthetic drug is the pharmaceutical companies.
Yes, it is.
That's
because
the dealers.
They always use the pharmaceutical companies is in Afghanistan as we speak. They protecting the United States of American armies are protecting the poppy fields. We can say this one thing about the Taliban. They was burning these places. They was using some of it for sources of income, but most, for the most part, they was burning these because that was against their religion. The United States are protecting those. That has become a cash cow crop in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so true. And I'm going to tell you why.
Pharmaceutical companies benefit from that.
Yeah, definitely. It's the pharmaceutical companies that are the... It's the pharmaceutical corporation. It's the pharmaceutical cabal. And, you know, as you said, it's the cash cow. Now, here's what... Oh, shoot. Uh-oh. Here's why...
I would like to add another thing to this conversation, yeah, if I may.
Of course.
I don't know if y'all familiar with this, but did you know that Bell Aston is in the process of buying Monsanto?
Mm. So Bayer is in the process of buying Monsanto's?
That is correct.
I call them Monsatan. Wow.
Yes.
I didn't know.
Absolutely. That's an umbrella that they may be able to hide up under and get a lot of things moved and passed and operate in a dark place where you won't be able to see what's really going on. That's how I see it.
Yeah. Oh no, that's exactly it. I agree with you. I wholeheartedly agree with you. That's it. And let me. One of the things how they hide, and I'm glad that you said that the brother brought up the cash cow.
Yes.
And yes, it is definitely a cash cow for them.
Absolutely.
It's a cash cow from this standpoint. See, they don't really care about cash. They created it. So they can print it up as much as they want to. But how is the influence, because it controls a great, powerful resource known as the human energy. And because of that overall drug industry, they're able to control people and to get people to follow their rules and play by their rules so that they will rule. And so it is an asymmetrical way of making sure that people always obey. This is why the music industry always wants to steal the great recording artists' talents by way of what? One way that they do is by controlling them by way of drugs.
Absolutely.
And this is the exact same process, because it works. It works on the general population as well.
Absolutely.
They've been in this psychological warfare for a very, very long time. Let me give you a clue here, or let me bring up something to you. The FDA, I call them the Federal Death Administration.
Yes.
Maybe that's why my computer is not working today. So, but... The FDA, the Federal Death Administration, is an organization that is known, I call it the Federal Death Administration, but its so-called politically correct name is Food and Drug Administration. Why would you ever want to commingle food with drugs?
Yes.
Why would you ever want to, unless you plan on poisoning the food supply? They tell you everything that they're doing. And tell you everything that you do. See, us as individuals, if we were going to create an agency to keep food clean, we would not name it Food and Drug Administration. We would have something like the purification of food, right? Clean food, the Clean Food Act, right? Or things of something of that nature. But see, they tell you everything. But the FDA was originally created for one reason and one reason only. Originally, the Food and Drug Administration, you can go to their own website and you can find out for yourself. You can do some of your own research. They'll tell you where they came from. The original FDA was known as the Bureau of Chemistry. Think about that for a minute.
Yes.
The Bureau of Chemistry.
Yes.
And since they were the Bureau of Chemistry, what do chemists do? They create synthetic things. What do you think the most important synthetic thing of the generations that chemists have brought about. Taking the herb that the great creator gave us to cure things and corrupting them into being a source of dependency on man. They changed the chemical coding. They took what was natural and made a synthetic out of it. And they know that synthetics don't work well with a natural body. It changes the body itself.
It poisons the body.
That's who the FDA was originally, was the Bureau of Chemistry. And since they were the Bureau of Chemistry, guess what they would do? Always cooking up a disease in their labs.
Yes.
And then having the overall drugs and get the regular general population addicted to their drugs. Because if they're addicted to their drugs, they can say, oh, well, it's a profitable business. They're in it for making cash, and they're in it for making money. No, they never were ever in it for making money. They say that to us, to you and I, to make, because money is so important to us. Cash is so important to us. It means nothing to them because they print it. They digitally create it. What they really wanted to do was get you dependent to always obey their command. And when you're getting high on their supply,
yes,
you always obey.
As I say this, Dave, the government has nothing to do with our money as well.
Nothing.
It's a corporation doing this. We slaves to corporations, not the government. Yep. The government is slaves to the corporations as well.
Yep. Yep. So well said. So true. And these are the same tactics, the asymmetrical tactics of the past. This is why I think that we really need to position ourselves in the way to know what's really going on. Okay? We have to know. So, brother, great call. Don't make this your last. You definitely enhance the overall dialogue because it's so important that we do. And so I just want to say thank you for and call back at any time because you are spot on. But I didn't know that Bayer was looking to acquire Monsanto. But not surprised at all. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. The number to call in is 704-802-5056.
Hey.
Would love to hear from you. Yes.
This is Griffin. Good evening, gentlemen and audience.
Hey, my brother. How you doing?
Look, I've been following them for a long time. One of the greatest global people following Monsanto, whatever you want to call them, is an Indian lady named Vandana Shriver. She's the only one that's ever beat the pharmaceutical companies in an international court and stopped them from using GMOs. But the thing is, I put an article in Tando so you can read through it later, because I've got bookmarked probably 40 articles over the last 5 years because I followed it because of a personal involvement with a pharma friend of mine. But what they're doing now, and the paragraph, I'll read it real quick and you'll understand. It said Monsanto is used to having a target painted on it. But in the fever of consolidation, it became the belle of the ball. For a year, the press was awash in stories of interest. And this is from November of 2017. And it says, but the German giant BASF and Bayer decided in September of 2016 that the best way to stop the rumor was agreeing to a $66 billion offer for Bayer. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you, then I'll leave it alone. Monsanto is primarily the pesticide side of the pharmaceutical and chemical business.
Mm-hmm.
And they're catching so much slack over Roundup and several other pesticides that they use with suits all across the world. So now they're trying to shield themselves from those lawsuits. And part of that is by combining with the German giant, which does primarily the bulk production of the chemicals that they usually send over to the U.S. and several other countries to be refined into pills. So they have that industry split up to try to avoid lawsuits, class action lawsuits. And you're right about it. Here's what Monsanto did. In 2016, in order to diversify, what they did is bought up all the natural food banks that were once talking about, I'm trying to think of the term used for the seeds, but they're naturally organic seeds, haven't been modified, mm-hmm. no GMO, no spraying, no nothing.
Heirloom
seeds, exactly. They actually bought up all of the major companies. So they're the major owners of heirloom seeds now. And farmers were trying to fight them, class action lawsuits, primarily in the U.S. and Canada, because what they did, once they bought it up, they actually had the Bush administration and then Obama's administration actually finalized it, so they don't even have to label the seeds. So farmers can't really tell now, unless they go to a local source, if they buy online or from a major distributor, they really can't tell whether they're getting what the package says or not, because Monsanto right. owns it. It's all about yes. the set.
It really is, Brother Griffin. It really, really is. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because here lies the problem. All of our seeds have probably, you don't know nowadays if your seeds have been compromised. You don't really know. And that's one of the true problems. You know, you can go to the store and it can have all the proper packaging on it, but do you trust the packager when you don't know the packager? When very, very important. But you know, some things that you can tell is from the seeds, and if they're able to reproduce themselves in a way, then you know that those are probably heirloom seeds. And that's what everyone should be using. But here's what's so bad about that, and Griff, I know you know about this, is that the overall Monsanto crop, the pollen from the Monsanto crop is where the real poison is. It corrupts all of the other crops, and even will take heirloom and possibly taking heirloom crops and then now turning them into genetically modified, because once that pollination happens, that cross pollination happens, and Griff, I know that cross pollination from the GMO, from the Monsanto GMO or the GMO seeds and pollen, it corrupts the heirloom.
Exactly.
Now that overall, it's like they've just been vaccinated.
Not only that, I'm going to tell you, I followed it for about the last 5 years, and I read through some of the court cases in international court when I was telling you about this lady, Vandana Shriver. What she found out is when they had a guy named Michael Taylor that was going in and out of the Food and Drug Administration back to working for Monsanto, they actually had the rules changed, and what they did is figured out you couldn't patent an heirloom seed, but any modification you bring to it, now it becomes a patentable. And that's a matter of fact, they created havoc in South America and had Indian farmers committing suicide because the plant is actually designed so it produces very few seeds if it's not so each year, rather than be able to go to your field, recoup seeds, which a plant normally does, because that's how it's done by the creator. It creates seeds for the next harvest. Rather than do that,
I'm legendary.
Every year they had to go and finance buying seeds back from the supplier. So it was economically killing these people. And I can send you a whole host of articles, but I'll let you go on with the show.
Yeah, no, very familiar, and he's absolutely right. Once that overall cross pollination happens, now you're in are part of patent infringement. But see, the overall farmer that planted non-GMO, that wasn't their intention. They have no control over the wind. But they're saying that their intellectual properties have now
been a part of their overall crops, and so that's theirs, and they're saying, hey, their crops will be stronger, better, is pest resistant and all that other stuff. That's the lie. That's the whole lie. Yes, Brother Griffin, very, very well said, familiar with that, and I'm glad we need to be aware of that, because as we go through and we start to make the meaningful changes, I don't know, and I'm going to just tell you this. I don't know when the people will sit down on this overall system. Well, they will refuse to engage in it, but I do have faith that, and I do know that the human spirit is relentless, that one day it will decide that it will no longer play by the rules. And I think what happens is that the system starts to have their barometers or their temperature, and they can read the overall temperature of the people to see where they're starting to move into a position to where they're getting close to sitting down and not participating. And then that's when they come in and they divert everything with war and famine and all these other things so that they can supersede the overall will to live as sovereign in self-determining. And I definitely can, as you all can feel, people are resonating different. If we can pick up that people are resonating different, so can the system. As a matter of fact, it is probably more sensitive to it than what we are. And because of that, there's a sense of urgency to maintain control by any means necessary.
Hey, Brother Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty. And got my internet to work, y'all.
That's good, that's good. You're exactly right. They are persuaded. That's the energy of the people. How do they gauge that? And social media allows them to do that more than they ever could before. But they gauge that by, let me give an example. When Syria just really started popping off in 2011, early into Obama's term, he's still in his first term, and with Hillary Clinton running the State Department, and of course coordinating with the CIA to what they did to bring about regime change in Syria. Mm-hmm. And so they were talking about they're going to arm them, or if I remember correctly, may have been talking about putting boots on the ground. And it was a big, most of the public was against that. And it was being expressed on public media. So they still ended up doing it anyway. Covertly, because that's what the CIA do, which again then brings into focus why they overthrew Libya, those Libyan arms to arm those terrorists and what have you. And so they gauge that by social media. So they do, that's what the whole propaganda war is about. It's not just putting out your ideals, but it's also gauging the impact of your propaganda. Are you controlling the minds of the masses, or are they going in a different direction? And I just think they beat you down and beat you down and beat you down, the media that is, till you're desensitized. I mean, it's just blatant now. They don't even care. They've been putting fake news out since the beginning of media. You know what I'm saying? So, right. Man, it's fake news is nothing new. But I have to say, the United States, the corporations, along with state governments, with the federal government, man, they are masters of it, man. They put Goebbels to shame.
You know what? So true, Scotty. And that's as you said, social media allows them to gauge everything even more than what they were able to do before. They were able to, you know, before they sent out, as Z-Big said, in the past it was easier to control a million people than it was to kill a million people. Now it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than it is to control them. And the social media actually brings about the means and the method to really be able to set the barometer as to what the people are saying. This is why FedBook, that's why I call it FedBook, is nothing more than an open source diary so that they can see how you're thinking, what you care about, what's significant to you. And then not only that, they can actually propagandize their overall objectives into you and think that this is a conceptual a thought or agreement that you had on your own, and it absolutely wasn't. So true, Scotty. So I think we got another caller in queue. I'm on the board. I can see the board now. Let's go to we got a caller out of Mississippi. Welcome, caller.
It's Tommy. Same caller, Tommy. Scotty was speaking, Dave and Scott, all came to mind was Operation Mockingbird. See, we have to always go back to the source, to me. And as he was speaking about social media, still Operation Mockingbird got a hand in that. And I'd like to make a suggestion that if anyone, if you haven't, go look at Captain America, the Winter Soldier, if you haven't seen it. And don't watch the superheroes. Watch the superheroes. That's enjoyment. But listen to the content and the words that's being used throughout the movie. The hidden things that's in it. Winter Soldier. Have anyone seen that? I don't know. But it's called Winter Soldier. Captain America, Winter Soldier. Watch it. They're telling you what they're doing all the time. A lot of times we watch this movie and we enjoy it, but we miss the message. That's all I had to say.
Yes, sir. We miss the agenda. So true. So true. Is that my man? Roz, I thought I heard. Yeah, go ahead, Roz.
Yeah. Peace. Yeah, it's me. I just wanted to chime in on this Monsanto discussion because it's very profound.
You're coming in low, Roz.
I'm coming in low. Is that better?
Try it again, Roz.
Okay, how's this?
Okay, well, I can hear you now. That's why I couldn't identify your voice at first. Go ahead, Roz.
Okay, is this better?
Yeah, that's a whole lot better. Okay, go ahead, Roz.
All right, thank you. I just wanted to say, when you were talking about the FDA being called the Food and Drug Administration, I remember when Brother Otis was talking about the Indian farmers committing suicide. Peace to you, Brother Otis. I talked about that like late last year. There was like 30,000 Indian soldiers farmers that committed suicide due to this Monsanto thing.
And what you did,
it was a dual thing. They were able to terraform the soil using these GMO seeds, and they were also able to get population control by these farmers committing suicide. Now, the other aspect of it too, because when you plant those GMO seeds from Monsanto, it changes the soil, so you can never plant normal seeds again. So what they did, so when the Indian farmers went back, like they used the Monsanto seeds, then they went back to trying to use the normal seeds that they were using prior to, and they couldn't. The seeds were not bearing anything, and that's because the Monsanto seeds with the Roundup was terraforming the soil, and they were no longer viable as far as the normal seeds that they were using that were not GMO seeds. So what they did was they have turned food into the drug. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So these farmers suicide because they couldn't get their drug, which was the food. We can't live without food. So food is the drug, and they're administrating it via Monsanto. Now, I posted an article today about Monsanto because they just are in the process of acquiring or connecting with a company that focuses on gene editing. I just want to read a brief paragraph from this article. It's from Reuters. It says, Monsanto backs new company focused on gene editing, not GMOs. Then this is from today. Monsanto company will fund a new U.S. company that aims to develop crops using technology known as gene editing rather than the genetic modification that helped it become the world's biggest seed seller. Monsanto's vice president of global biotechnology, Tom Adams, will leave the seed giant to become chief executive of the new firm called Pairwise Plants, the companies told Reuters. He steps into the new role on April 1st. The collaboration accelerates a race among agricultural scientists and companies worldwide to develop new seeds for crops using gene editing, a process they say can produce non-GMO farm products that do not contain foreign DNA from different species. Unlike traditional GMOs in which a gene is added from another organism, gene editing works like the find and replace function on a word processor. It finds a gene and then makes changes by amending or deleting it. Using quote-unquote molecular scissors to cut DNA means scientists can edit genomes more precisely and rapidly than ever before, and altered agricultural products can get to the market more quickly and cheaply. I'll stop there.
Hey, I have a question for Ross.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hey, Ross, this is Scotty. My question for you, when you say Indian farmers, are you talking about those farmers down there in Mexico?
No, I'm talking about the in India. Actually,
in India? Because I know it was a big thing. The Mexican farmers, did you hear about that? They set Monsanto fields on fire because, you know,
Go ahead.
But related news to that, I just read this either a day or two ago. They're now, the FDA is, they're submitting editing animals. Like, they're saying, like, for example, pigs without tails, born without tails, because when they have them at close quarters, you know how they pack them in there, they be biting each other, which can lead to wounds, which lead to infection. So they want, they want to bioengineer these pigs to be born without tails, and then hornless cows. You know, cows without horns. So that's being submitted to, and they call it, it's called gene editing. And they're trying to debate whether or not the FDA should be able to regulate that, because all they're doing is removing some horns. You know, they're giving their side of it, but that's being debated right now.
Yeah, because that's that CRISPR technology that, that they're basically refining it in order to mass produce these gene edited. Now they're going into gene edited plants rather than genetically modified plants and organisms now. So yeah, we're going to start really seeing I think a lot of experiments going wild. I don't know if you ever heard of like the Montauk experiment, where the government and the CIA was actually dealing with modifying different creatures. And on Long Island, they were finding these wild creatures that had never been seen before that escaped from their labs. This has been happening since like the 40s. So I think we're going to see more of that with this gene editing technology that, that Monsanto's getting into. With that, I'll mute my line and let Brother Dave get on with the show. But I just wanted to add that to the mix, since all of this information, this great information, was coming out about Monsanto. And that article just came out today. And I did post it on our BTR community, and it's from Reuters. All right, thanks. I'll mute my line, brothers. Peace and love.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, they've been using gene switching and technology for a very, very long time. This is how you got the pig. The pig is a derivative. It's a clone of a human being. So, hey, let's get ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll jump right into it. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And yes, the food is the drug of today. This is why so many of us are malnourished, because the food that we have is not really sustaining our natural bodies. It's actually the overall deliverer of the genetically changing or altering of our DNA in the hopes of creating a more obedient, docile, controllable human existence. That's what this system is. Yes, that's what this system is all about. And yes, to my sister, Strategic Melanin, yes, mad science. Mad science. And so we'll talk about this a little bit more. But what I want to do, we've got a couple of callers in queue, and we're going to go to my man Thomas that's there. Thomas, what say you, brother? Go ahead.
Peace to all. Peace.
Peace to you.
Just wanted to add in on this right here. Monsanto has the patent for the pig. They got it. They filed it in 2005. and people fought it. Germany, it was already implemented in Europe. Germany tried to fight it in 2009. They filed lawsuits and they lost. So they have the patent on the pig. In fact, if you have a real pig and your pig mates with one of their pigs, then they own now your new pig that came out, because that has the genetic marker of their fake pig, and they own anything with that genetic marker. And around the time when this all passed was around the time when it came out with the swine flu, which I thought was very interesting. They also got a patent on oysters. They're trying to get one on cows. In fact, they changed the DNA of the cow so much by feeding it the Monsanto feed that the cows no longer produce manure that is reusable. It comes out runny. In fact, it's what's called, it's causing the E. coli, because, of course, that's caused by feces. So the cow's feces, being that they just are grown indoors and just sitting in the feces up to their knees, you know, until their time to be slaughtered, that feces gets into the hair, the fur, the skin, and as that cow is moving around the huge food factory, if any of that drips in any other part of the food, now you have an E. coli outbreak. Let's remember a few years ago, Taco Bell had one of those. And just to piggyback on what Roz was saying, I got an article in 2016 which said over the last 30 years, 300,000 farmers in India committed suicide. I believe it was a staggered rate of like 30, one farmer killing themselves every 30 minutes in India, because, you know, their livelihood has been taken away from them due to these seeds. The last thing I wanted to say is these seeds are producing mass anti-sexual behavior. These seeds are filled with estrogen, the chemical that you put into the seed to kill the weeds and stuff around it, which is why they made the seed, is filled with estrogen. If I eat it, now I'm eating estrogen. I'm a man, that's going to mess with my testosterone. If a woman eats it, she's eating estrogen. Too much estrogen in a woman, their body naturally forms testosterone to counter it, and now you have a lot of women walking around with a lot of testosterone, and you wonder why. And I'll be my line. Thank you, brother.
Yep, so true. So true. Well said, Thomas, as always. So true. So, yeah, it's purpose is a, we have to look at this as biological warfare, because that's really what it is. It's biological warfare to get everyone to continue to obey. Let's go to another caller that's in queue. Area code 646. You're on Tando Radio Show. What say you? What is your question or comment? Caller out of area code 646. What's your name? Where you calling from? And what is your question or comment?
Beg pardon. Peace, Brother Dave. I've been having some phone issues. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can definitely hear you. Brother Tag, what's going on, bro?
Peace.
Good to hear your voice.
Likewise, and everyone that's been calling in, I was able to catch maybe the last half hour or so, and just greatly appreciating the discussion. And I wanted to just beg pardon for any confusion from before. It was on BTR News a few weeks back, and we were discussing some of these acts of meddling by the U.S. state. And I had misspoken and attributed this like fake Twitter platform that they created out in Cuba a few years back. I had kind of misspoken and referred to it as a part of Operation Mockingbird, but in fact they were calling it Zunzunio, another kind of bird reference, apparently for a bird that's local, you know, to Cuba. And so just wanted to kind of make that quick correction, although as Brother Scotty, you know, rightfully mentioned, it seems like pretty much more of the same as the brother who spoke, I don't recall his name, but as the brother who spoke a little bit earlier, was pointing toward, you know, Operation Mockingbird really helps us get to kind of the roots of like this particular moment in U.S., you know, imperialist propaganda, and, you know, how they're, you know, doing their level best to make automatons, you know, out of us, and to just, you know, enforce automation on this mass scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, well said, Tag, brother. Always, man, please continue to listen and participate, because your overall participation is greatly, greatly, you know, appreciated, and definitely always need to hear from you as well. So, yeah, you know, it's when you look at the overall system, the system doesn't come with just one layer, two layers, or one objective and one means. It is the same objective, then that objective is to get people to obey and to treat them as gods. And so there's a lot of different things that you need to do that. Compromising the food support, food supply is one. Compromising the water, compromising the ecosystem, because the ecosystem is really the great creator's economy. And if you can't have a sustainability off the great creator's economy, then you're going to look to what? The controlling manufactured god that destroys everything. And that overall god is the one that wants to have dominion over you. And to plant and seed that into you to make you think that having dominion over things is in the beneficial good of sustainability. Because everything is for your disposal. The whole world is yours to decide what's in, how it can serve you. Anyone that wants dominion is evil. Dominion over something that you didn't create. Dominion over something that you have no beneficial connection to, other than a selfish agenda. That's when you become the "in God we trust" that's on their piece of paper. And that's the system that they continue to push and to get people to buy into. And it can be easily defeated by us not participating in it. Technology, yes, yes, strategic military technology. Oh boy, how we need technology. My internet wasn't working. I was like, oh man, my internet though. Man, if I lived on the ecosystem, do you think that I would even care about connection to the internet system? And you know what I love about the ecosystem? In the ecosystem, there are no mass murderers, if you ever noticed it. The ecosystem, if the overall species of the ecosystem, once they've eaten, once they've gotten their they don't randomly just kill. They move on. They only take what's needed. Then they don't build colonies to enslave. Something magnificent about the ecosystem that we've lost appreciation for. We've lost appreciation for sovereignty. And what we've been taught is to always fight for freedom. Means that you're going to pay for it. You're not going to have any real form of it. And so let me just real quickly, I want to catch up on, I got, I'm back online so I can see the board. And if anyone has any comments, questions or comments that they would like to share, definitely give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056. And there's a couple of things that I put in what's in the news, and I can't go through all of it. And today's show was the traps are set. And the traps are set.
There's a couple of articles. And there was an article real quickly I got from the Telegraph. And it was what Gaddafi's son, Sadaf, is running for president in Libya in this year. Now, I'm going to just say this. I don't know if that's good or bad. And I really didn't want to do too much research in it, because this is all I know. Is that when you no longer make a deal and you no longer want to comply with the system, you are a disease that they have to get rid of. Malcolm refused the deal. Got to get rid of him now. He was cooperating before, ain't cooperating now. Got to go. How you know that's the truth? Because the FBI went to him and offered him. Martin wouldn't cooperate anymore. Got to go. Got to make an example out of. See, making an example out of Martin and Malcolm wasn't for the people. You know who making an example out of Martin and Malcolm was for? All the other minions that were already in place, that if you would ever think that you would step out of line, we'll deal with you this way. They didn't care about the people. They didn't care about the people. What they cared about was they cared about the factions. They cared about people leaving their system that knew too much, that could start the process of destroying and triggering people start to thinking different by all of a sudden saying something that people will go, what did they just say? Give you an example of that. Listen to what Martin said a year before his assassination. Look at what Malcolm was starting to say. People will start going, huh? And the one that they did, how about JFK? JFK didn't want to play ball no more. And if you ever want to hear how he was telling what was really going on, we played it many times here. Probably one of the most pointed self-enlightening, one of the most pointed and substantially validating the evil of the system was Kennedy's, the president in the press, speech that he gave at the Waldorf Astoria in New York City. Basically told you flat out. And he was getting on their nerves because he was talking about weather modification. Then LBJ did too. See what happens when the individuals that they prop up in front of you in celebrity figureheads, when they start to tell too much, or they get a consciousness where they say, well, you know what, I don't want to play for this no more. I don't want to do this anymore. They execute them in public view, not for the public to see. I don't care about the public. It's for all the other ones that in the same positions that as them that would ever come out of line. They always say this, you remember what happened to Kennedy, right? And those individuals, those people, they know what that means. Because they know where a lot of this stuff comes on, depending on who they are and how much they know and how involved they are. And I'm not saying Gaddafi's son Fadif is bad or what. I don't know. But I just know this. If you were taken prisoner and all of a sudden they let you out, and a couple of years later you running for president, that don't happen organically. That don't happen organically. The possibility that a deal was struck. And they said, you know, you don't have to go out like this. So, just saying. And then there's another article. I think this one is very, very important. From Awaking Times, America's foster care system is the pipeline for child sex trafficking. Yes, 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 yes. And this is deep. That's extremely deep. Then there was China warns Taiwan of punishment. Then the shooting in Maryland, I didn't check up anything on that. I don't think that there is any coincidence there at all. The rash, you know what, I'm going to say this. Here's what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. You heard of serial killers, right? They say that they got serial bombings. Well, you got serial mass shootings. You know who's behind the serial mass shooting? The ones that benefit from it the most? This is why they're using this tactic. We have serial mass shootings right now. This isn't by individuals. Or if it is by individuals, it is in by individuals that are being under control of their psychedelic drugs, their psych meds. And triggering this stuff. Who has the ability and capability of doing that? Who has the means, motive, opportunity, and who gains from that? System does. System definitely does. Then I was talking to Brother Bragg this morning. I'm going to just real quickly this one. And this one comes from, this was an older article, SOPOC.net. Blacks are the first true Americans. You can't go back to Africa. Hidden lies in history. So we're going to take a look at that at some time. And I think that has everything to do with preparing. Has everything to do with preparing. And I'm going to tell you why that's so important. And I want you to really think about it so that when we do have that conversation, you'll be fully ready. And we have to move in directions that's in our best interest. In thinking about these things and why preparing is so important, we should be preparing economically as well. And at some point, at some time, we're going to have to do that collectively. You and I, for those of you that are willing to do that, and then those aren't, we just keep going and let them stay where they are. Here's what's up. Here's why that's so important. Why you can't go back to Africa. Because you're indigenous to here. And I'm going to give you a very big clue on that. Let me give you one of the quotes from one of the so-called founding fathers. Founding fathers means that they had a contract, a foundation. Not what they told you that they created. No, they had a foundation and they were legally structured. And you can still do that same legally structuring today. And when you do that same, that's when the Constitution applies to you. Until then, it doesn't. Here's what's up. Check this out. The Founding Fathers, and this all goes along with our conversations today as well. Founding Fathers, Thomas Jefferson, giving advance warning for some years to come. Here's what his advance warning, and this is his quote. I want you to really listen. I believe that the banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies, Jefferson wrote. If the American people ever allowed private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations will grow up around these banks, and they will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless And on a continent, their forefathers conquered. This is why it's so important for us to know who we truly are. Because if you take that comment, and I guess there's someone that wants to chime in, I'll get to you in 1 second. Because if you will take that comment, let me tell you what Jefferson was basically saying. Let me mute this one person. I'm gonna come back to them. 1 second. I muted just for the background noise, so if you heard that you were muted, don't worry about it. I'll let you speak in a second. I just want to get this out. If you hear what Thomas Jefferson was saying, one of the founding fathers, said that the banking institutions are more dangerous to liberties than standing armies, because the banking institutions give the overall armies their orders. And he said that they will control first by inflation, then by deflation. And they will deprive the people of all of their property. And this is the property that they're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. It's talking about your birthright, your energy, your energy to be sovereign and self-determining, your energy to go in your own direction, be self-sustaining, and be able to have true prosperity, and to be immune from taxation, to be immune from exaction, to be immune from civil rights, because civil rights don't exist without exaction. Where you have your absolute and unalienable qualities, talents, and ability to benefit you and everyone that you wanted to benefit, the tribe, your people, your family, your community, your surroundings. You become a good steward of your talents and abilities. Because when you're not a good steward of your talents and ability, if you squander your talents and abilities, that becomes one of the deadliest weapons ever formed. You will be destructive of every living thing. The animals will recognize your energy as being evil. Why do you think all the animals stay away from human beings? Because they recognize your energy. They know what you're all about, what you're capable of. It's not that they're afraid of you. They're very aware of the danger that you present to them and everything else around them. So you'll lose the property. Deprive the people of all property until their children will wake up homeless on the continent their forefathers conquered. Now, telling you right there that they conquered this land. How did they conquer this land? By various means. Totally schooling and confusing you is one of the most important things. Getting you to fight for their overall subjugation and control is the most important thing, because then you'll uphold your own demise. That is, they conquered this land. And they realized that the system for the minions, the system has no regard for them. They realize that every deal that they make with the devil, they'll lose. They were the ones, the minions, that actually facilitating the demise of the people that they conquered. But the system will eat them and consume and devour them just as well. Because it has no allegiance to them. That contract becomes expendable. And all these minions, all the actors, and all these leaders become expendable to the overall system of subjugation and control. Because they
declare wars that they don't have to fight. They get their slaves to do it. So what does that tell you? It tells you basically every story that they've ever told you about who you are has been a lie, always been a lie, always will be a lie. The key is, will you be able to reconnect ourselves to the ecosystem where the truth is? And the ecosystem always says this: who told you that? The choice is yours. We were given our birthright not because of entitlement, but because out of harmony, because of out of the ability to be able to be creators as well. There's an upside and a downside to being a creator. You can create something that's malevolent or benevolent. You can create something that's destructive, or you can create a sustainable measure of equality. Up to you. In all of the system, everyone in the system, from the ones that control to the ones that are allowed to be controlled, have a choice. Am I going to participate? So in this statement that Thomas Jefferson said, basically said this: where was the land conquered? Right here. Who was conquered? You were. You. Not the story that they told you. They came to this continent and conquered. And part of that conquering agenda was now to school you and to tell you who you are and make you recite it day after day and repeat it day after day and memorize it day after day into your own demise until no longer do you believe it, you know it to be fact. You quote it right away. Who are you? And you respond, and we respond. So, I wanted to bring that up because I'm getting ready to go to a commercial break because, ladies and gentlemen, you always hear me talk about this. We are really on the precipice of a major controlling events that are going to be like a bite that's going to tighten itself around our lives. I want you to be as prepared for it as possible. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. When we come back, Brother Braggs, I'll go to you. And let me see you with one other brother that I put, I know who it is. I'll take you off mute if you wanted to respond. Listen to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back. One second. Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. I wanted to go to Brother Braggs. If you're ready to go, you can unmute yourself, and then we'll go right to you and give Brother Braggs a second to unmute himself because he muted himself because I think he had some background noise. So, Brother Braggs, when you're ready, just unmute yourself. I'll see you in queue. And we'll bring you up. Now, also, there was a caller out of Mississippi. I'm not quite sure if they wanted to to chime in. Caller out of Mississippi, did you want to comment on something?
Yeah, I did. Thanks for
yes, go ahead.
This Tommy. About Malcolm and Mark and Kennedy when they didn't want to play no more, how they disappeared. And as history has shown me that at some point Kennedy had started the Treasury Department to printing up U.S. money again. And I had a couple of those notes. It was printed in red ink. And at some point I got rid of them, but it only ran for a month or so, and then it was gone. But as soon as he died, they shut it off, and they went back to the Federal Reserve. But at the same time, I wanted to give you compliments on the statement you made about what Thomas Jefferson, the speech that was right that he had did. And I think sometimes we don't hear what's being told to us. And that's all I had to say about that, but you're right on point. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, brother. Always appreciate your thoughts and your comments. Yes, there was a lot that's going on. He definitely didn't want to play by the rules, and I remember I had the writings where someone wrote, and I'm gonna tell you, it was all a part of the Nixon and Bush, they were a part of it, suspectedly a part of it, because of their neo-Nazi ties and everything else. Where they said, oh, well, he really thinks that he's in charge. The president and the press. Listen to that. Probably one of the most telling truths about the system that's ever been spoken. The president and the press. Check that out. Brother, let me see. Brother Braggs is not back yet, so... Brother Tommy, thank you. Greatly appreciate. And if you have something else, definitely chime in at any time.
Yeah,
so
yeah, when you speak of the neocons, I assume you're speaking about the Nazis, right?
Yes.
I don't think as black folks, as us, we realize how engraved and in waves and weaves they have been into our system against us. I really don't believe we understand that. And when I spoke about that Captain America, Winter Soldier, I wasn't promoting anything, but all of that is in that film. If anyone are listening to me, watch that film and listen to how they exposed what the Nazis did and how they was incorporated into America or into this system and what they have done cause where we are today to be going on. Captain America, Winter Soldier.
Yes, definitely. Check that out. Thomas definitely recommends that. Tommy recommends that. And because, yeah, they have a lot of those, in their movies. They actually, I think that they use them as a part of messaging, a part of subliminal messages. And not only that, I found that through my research, and I hate to say that, but I found that they always have to tell you before they do it. Because one of the things is that the system always wants to be able to be a great accuser of you and say, well, this is what you wanted. Because then that gives them great leverage with you, because then you say, well, yeah, we did. And this is what you wanted. So that you'll always go to them to petition them for your existence. And they started from the time that we're born into this system. It's met with force. It's met by stealing. It's met by claiming. So, and designating you as a bond, as the collateral for the bond. Your energy is the collateral for the bond that's issued for the system to use. So we got Brother Bragg in queue. Brother Bragg, what say you?
Peace, Greg. You were talking about our home. I just wanted to make this point because, man, I've been telling my brothers for a long time, we were not the slaves. The slaves were the Slavic people who were enslaved by the Germans. Now, I'd like to read you just a few seconds of this. This article is called Britain Sent Thousands of Its Convicts to America, Not Just Australia. And so, the 13 original colonies once again, I'm going to reiterate this. You can do your research and you'll find the same thing out. The original 13 colonies started off as penal colonies. Europe was dumping their undesirables here. They were also tricking people who were coming here. They were also Shanghaiing people and bringing them here. And they were also blackbirding. That's when you enslaved black people. And I'm just going to read this quickly. Britain had been shipping convicts to America for decades before they started sending them to Australia. In fact, it was precisely because of America's fight for independence that the Brits had to start sending their criminals to Australia. But from 1718 until 1775, convict transportation to American colonies flourished. Some estimates claim that almost 10% of migrants to America during this time were British convicts. Typically, getting banished to America was for a term of either 7 or 14 years, after which the convict could theoretically come back to Britain, escaping home early. I'm sorry, I messed that up. After which the convict could theoretically come back to Britain, escaping home early, however, was punished by death. And it wasn't just men. Some female convicts were transported to American colonies as well for crimes such as being lewd and walking in the streets after 10 at night. Many Australians have more or less embraced their convict history. But if you're an American who had no idea that your country's founding included a huge prison population, you're not alone. Historically, Americans have not been too keen on discussing the fact that convicts came to what would eventually become known as the United States. As Anthony Weaver explains in his book, Bound with Iron Chains, historians have sought to cover up the fact that so many prisoners were sent to America. Through the 19th century, most historians simply ignored the institution, and those who didn't recognize it usually claimed that nearly all the people who were transported were political prisoners. No less a figure than Thomas Jefferson himself tried to downplay the history of penal transportation in America. Writing in 1786, Jefferson insisted that even if British criminals had been sent, they must have been sent in small numbers. I'm going to leave it right there. I just wanted to make that point so you know. Stop saying we were slaves. We weren't the slaves. They traded identities with us. They traded places with us. They made us second-class citizens. They replaced themselves as the number one. And then they started importing Europeans all into the country as proxies to take the land. Peace. I'm done crying and I'm done hollering. Have a good day. You know I love you.
I love you too, Brother Briggs. But I got to respond to that. There is too much documentation of people being kidnapped in Africa by other Africans, documented by Africans, sold to Arabs, sold to Europeans, and were transported to South Africa and North America and everywhere in between. There's just too much recorded history. And all of these different nations, no, I didn't interrupt you. All these different nations would not be admitting to such a major human crime. Why would an African nation like Senegal or Ghana or any of these people apologize for something they didn't do? Are they just ignorant black folks that don't know their own history and what occurred on their continent? Okay, there are people who are descendants of victims of slavery, which wasn't that long ago. 150 years ago was the Civil War that freed a lot of them. It was already free black people who have various origins, and that's true. So all black people, that's why I use the term black, all right, to cover all of us. But we have different nationalities, different origins, and anybody who is born on this continent is indigenous, and that includes the descendants of those who were brought here. The vast majority of the population that was enslaved, are we saying that never happened, that these people didn't exist? The vast majority of the population, when it grew to its biggest point, which was 5 million people, most of them were, we were just talking about Monsanto and breeding cattle and whatnot and pigs and what have you. Most of the victims of slavery was born right here. So they indigenous because they was born on this continent. Whether that make them American, North American, or whatever label they choose to label themselves with or identify with. But, you know, I just cannot listen to people who want to deny, or it seems like they're denying that slavery ever happened to African people who were brought here to this continent. And I'm done. Dave, sorry to bust in on your show like that.
No, No.
And look, I would like to respond, though, because I didn't say that. I didn't say that slavery didn't happen to us. But slavery didn't happen to it the way that most people think. What they did was they came here and they enslaved you on the spot. You was walking around happy in your own land. They started grabbing up your little children and your women and enslaving them first. Then they came and got you when you wanted to fight, and then they enslaved you. If you was really tough, you got sent away from here. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm not saying that they didn't enslave people, but it's not the numbers that you think. They did the most.
You said they did not bring Africans. See, that's saying Africans were not brought here in chains. And that's a lie. That's what you just said by omission.
I never said that. I never said that.
But you are omitting them. You're omitting them. So when you say we, who is we, Brother Braggs? Who is we?
Started slave colonies, enslaving Europeans. That's how they started plantations here. They sent their people here.
Okay, hey,
as slaves. Hold on,
Brother Braggs. And what we're gonna do is this: I think that we do know that there were people that were bought from the continent, from all continents, Africa being one of the providing or one of the captive continents that people were actually a part of the slave trade to brought to this penal colony. Because this was definitely and still is a penal colony. That's why you have the mass incarceration that you have, because that was it's been its agenda. They were brought from all over. They were brought from Europe. They were brought from Africa here. That is what we do know. But there's also people that were here before they got here, and they had to be conquered. And once they conquered those individuals, they in turn enslaved them to the penal colony as well. And I think that we can't deny, and I'm not saying that you're denying, I'm not saying anyone else is denying, you know, what's been done. Let me tell you, this system is so feral in enslaving people. It cares not where the energy comes from. But I'm going to tell you this. One of the things about the black energy and from the indigenous people, from our people, is this, that our energy resonates differently than others. Our energy, because of being so original to this overall planet, it is able to endure and has been around the longest. This is why our energy is different. It's much stronger than everyone else's. This is why it's scientifically proven that you can endure much more. You can actually see it in our overall fit, how we're created. We're able to endure pretty much everything. But I don't think that anyone is suggesting that there weren't people taken off of the continent known, the corporation continent known as Africa, and brought here to enslave them. Why would any person that is involved in the system alleviate the overall profitability to maintaining control by leaving out Africa? I think that here in Africa, because of the natural resources, this became a penal colony because of how wealthy this land.
Hey, Dave, and let me just say this. When we say words like we have to understand that we don't have the same individual genealogy, bloodlines, and all that.
Right.
But we are here together because we recognize slavery and we are against slavery and we want self-determination. We want quote-unquote freedom, all right? So when we say we, all of the history of this continent, when they call it a melting pot, especially when we're talking about melanated people, we've all married each other and absorbed each other. So some of us, I mean, it's just ridiculous to say that, like, you know, we don't have these various routes, I guess, to this continent. But we all became one big family through forced, again, talking about forced reproduction, mating you like cattle to produce more labor for the fields and whatnot, and then the indigenous population, and then those who escaped slavery and were absorbed by the indigenous population. So we all mixed up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Non-white people. When we're talking about non-white people. So when we say we have a multiple histories among us. And so, again, when I say we, I'm talking about people who practice justice versus those who don't.
Yeah, and I'm agree. And Brother Braggs is absolutely right about a lot of, you know, how it was constructed, because it was multifaceted. It wasn't just one hard, fast way, because that's not the asymmetrical way. The asymmetrical, they had enslaved any and everybody that they possibly could, because the overall resources of this planet, of this continent, of this area, was so wealthy. And they do this. They realize in order to extract that, it takes work. They weren't willing to do it. So what did they do? They actually designated other people to do the work for them, to give up their lives. And this is why ways and means, your way of life becomes their means of life. And then what they did is they structured a caste system. And that's what Brother Bragg is talking about. It's a caste system of different minion levels where everybody wants to have a slave, but nobody wants to be one. And this is what they do to every person here in this country now. They allow the homeless people to be around you so that you'll never, ever challenge the system. Because the first thing that they'll say is, first thing that the system will do, without even spoken, is that if you don't do this, you'll be homeless. We don't want to have nothing to do with that. So yes, everything is a multifaceted, very complex, methodical, asymmetrical plan, because the reward in doing this is so great. You can't just come up with a haphazard plan that you could do over 5 years. They've been practicing this for millions and perfecting it for millions because they have a free will just like we do. And the points that Scotty's pointing out and the points that Brother Braggs is pointing out are absolutely correct. It was never, ever, ever about one method. Look at how they use how they slice the overall planet right now and divided everyone right now. They do that because that stuff works. And I wasn't going to say stuff for those of you that are perceptive. That works. So yeah, there were people that were originally here once the overall system came here and assayed the land and said, oh my goodness, we could become gods among the people. And that's what their agenda was. And the continent, commonly referred to as Africa, provided a lot of the resources to do that, and also the resources to weaponize it. Africa was very, very significant. One of the things about Africa was this, is that its significance to weaponize the control. That was very, very important. So, well said on both sides. Let me go to another caller out of Seattle, and that's going to be the last one because we got to get out of here so that we can get into... New Abolitions Radio is coming on right after. We got my man Hassan. Hassan, what say you? Go ahead, brother. You got 2 minutes.
What's going on, man?
Hey, brother. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm just hearing all the debating back and forth, or not necessarily debating, but just, you know, the dialogue, exchange, and I would say that they're both right, but man, how do I say this without... without it being a debate or something like that. There's sometimes there's things that, you know, I might understand that somebody else don't understand, or even somebody might, you know, think they have an understanding of it, but, you know, just sometimes
we all have opinions of things. It doesn't make it right, but it still should be spoken about.
Yeah, but then some things aren't debatable. And then, you know, but anyways, I just go into just kind of where they, you know, where Brother Braggs was coming from. He's speaking from is one perspective, and then what Scotty's speaking from is another perspective. So So, yes, there was people that came over from Africa, but it's not as many as everybody thinks it is.
As you think, that's right.
And the way, and the story that we know it as is not, that's not what happened. It's like in slavery, it's like those were prisoners of war.
That's right.
You know, another thing I go into is even the term Africa. This land over here is Africa. So they know how to twist.
Thank you, bro. So essentially,
yes, you're right. Slaves came from Africa into Africa and were enslaved. So when you said a statement, they came from Africa and they were enslaved. Yes, that's 100% true. But it's true to the extent that do you know what you're saying when you even say it? You know what I mean?
I have a quick question. So yeah. The millions that Huey Newton spoke about and others wrote about and documented from ship records, because again, this is property. They were shipping human beings, but they were recorded as property and what have. So the Middle Passage, I think they said something like 12 million. How many million, Brother Otis might know,
no million.
Died in the Middle Passage?
It's impossible.
People
on the bottom of a ship and for 3 months and
tell them again, bro.
It's not even scientifically possible to put that people on the ships the story that as we've been told it. No one ever stopped to think it with their comments. All of us. Nobody ever stopped to think. And even with certain documentation and like education, it's like you got to remember it's a Europeanized state. You got to think about the education where it's coming from.
African countries have weighed in on this again, and we're again talking about several different countries and centuries.
But look where they are. But they're colonized right now too. You look at all of us over here. There's no group of people on the planet that's like us.
But again, though, my point is not how many people were actually brought here from Africa. That isn't my point. Okay,
right.
Whether it was 10,000 or 100,000. These people are so efficient at breeding these people that their population did balloon. And up to the Civil War, this isn't ancient history. That these people were recorded in their census since they've been keeping the census, and they bred their population to at least 5 million. Okay.
Can I make a comment?
Hold on. You know, listen, what I don't want to do is that our show is going to be ending.
Right.
And so, Hassan, man, thank you for chiming in, and I don't want to be disrespectful to the next show. And
right.
What's really happening is that, and I want to just say this, is that Scotty isn't saying that the story that was told was actually true.
Right.
Brother Braggs isn't saying that the story that we were told was true. So we never need to get into a debate about it among ourselves, because we do know this, is that subjugation and enslavement is real right now.
Right.
And it's real right now through propaganda. And it's real right now because we have to be asking the right questions now to bring about our own return to our own sovereignty. I was not here. One second. I was not here 400 years ago. Neither were you. And all of the books and everything else and how they chronicalize the chain of custody and everything. All of that can be very easily manipulated. Churchill said, history will be kind to England because England will write it. But what we do know is our energy connection to everything. We know they lie. But what we need to do is reground ourselves here, and then we will stop giving energy to all of their lies. Not just one, two, three, but all of them.
Yes, sir.
All
Can I make a quick comment, Dave?
So, what brother Bragg
and what Scotty is saying
is absolutely a part of it all. It's not the manufacturing overriding of everything. And that we don't really need to ever disagree on that, because our disagreements is not among ourselves. So we got one person said that you're going to have to be real quick. Go ahead, real quick, 2 minutes.
This would be 15 seconds. If you go into the book In the Matter of Color, and he speaks about the colonial period in the U.S., when you take 18 slaves, only 3 out of those 18 were indigenous Africans. So 15 of those people, out of every 18 people, were indigenous blacks here from America. And that's written on the colonial record.
I got records that go back for slavery, and that's not something everybody has. You can't Google some of the stuff I got. That's all I
have. You can't.
Hey, can I be heard?
No, we got to get out of here because we got another show coming on, man. I'm so sorry, brother. So, hey, we got to get ready to get out of here. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Much love, much respect. Thank you for all, and we'll catch up on this. Brother Bragg, we ain't got time to time out. We got to get out of here. We got another show coming up, New Abolition Radio, right after Tando Radio Show. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you later. Peace.
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 Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.